Morning, sir.
Good morning. Well, I'm busy. Hope you have a nice day, please.
Nice to see you, honorable members. My apology, honorable members. I'm a bit not well, but also, can we, with our department present with you, honorable members, to have a moment of silence, our honorable advocate, comrade Ismail Mohammed passed on, I'm suspecting after 2 hours I spoke to himself when he was taking me from the station. After 2 hours he passed with heart attack today at 12:30. As members of parliament, we are going to have a funeral service of his friend. So, whilst we are starting this meeting in a bad note, I cannot even say more about our month, August month. I'll be saying that please, honorable members, take care of yourself. Take care of your families. We need to be one. We need to support each other wherever we are. We need to check each other. I'm suspecting COVID-19 wants us to be more close to each other as a family. Also, as a family of this community, it's wise to check each other. With those words, let's have a 1 minute silence of prayer. May his soul rest in peace. Honorable members, we have agenda in front of us. Thank you so much. Can someone adopt the agenda? Oh, before that, do we have any apologies? No, we're starting with the agenda. Can someone adopt the agenda, honorable members?
Honorable Spicy, I move for the adoption of the agenda.
Thank you so much, Honorable CBC.
Honorable Father, I second.
Thank you so much, Honorable Members. Do we have any apologies? I'm asking from the office.
No.
Deputy Minister,
and my colleagues who are here.
Wait, did you hear that?
Can I, Honorable Chair?
I'm sorry, I didn't see that they are here, Minister. I didn't recognize Minister. I'm very sorry. Thank you, DG. Go on.
No, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. We have two departments in one, based on the reporting period under question, and that would mean that I will deal with the DA, the former DAC, second and third quarter, and then I will request acting DDG Sumaya Khan, DDG Sumaya Khan, who was acting DG at the time, to then also take portfolio committee on both second and third quarter in succession. We will then ask Dr. Khumalo, who is the Deputy Director General for Arts, Culture, Promotion and Development, to take the committee through the COVID-19 update. That is in a nutshell, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, how we have framed our presentation. I hope that is in order, Honorable Chair.
Point of order.
Yes, Honorable. A moment, DG. Yes, Honorable Khumalo.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Thank you very much. Can I propose, Chair, that they deal with that because term two automatically starts on. Now, I'm proposing, can we deal with term three and then both at the previous department? Because when we ask why this happened in term two, they'll say it will happen in term three. Now, my proposal is for us to save time, let's note the term two and then a presentation for term three. That's my proposal, Chair.
Honorable members, that's the proposal of Honorable Nshongo.
Chairperson?
Members.
Yes, Chairperson.
I'm sure that's the proposal from Honorable Nshongo.
My view, Chair, would be that we don't disregard it totally. They would rather summarize it and not go into details. I second him, but with this amendment, that they don't go into details with term two, but summarize it because it will feedback, it will assist us to connect with term three. Thanks, Chair.
I'm suspecting it's in order. Can you take it like that, Honorable Members? To you, DG.
No, thank you. Thank you very much, Honor.
Yes, DG.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, we will do as advised. Maybe what we'll do, Honorable Chair, will be then to just go, because we've got those that were not achieved and those that were achieved. In quarter two, our performance was that, we are just alerting the committee of the measure, and how I have explained earlier that we will have the two separate presentations based on that. And then we would like to indicate that all these reports were submitted also to National Treasury and as well as to the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation. And then we just say that is a normal procedure we have to follow. On performance overview, as advised, we had 26 targets, 5 were not achieved, and 21 were achieved, translating to 81% during that quarter. And then if we go to the performance overview of targets that were not achieved, we're just indicating the five, which was on social advocacy platform, also provision of support through MGE to cultural and creative sector projects, but also to the sector organizations, and also support to human language technologies. HLT stands for Human Language Technologies Projects. And then we're indicating also provision of support to community arts programs. The reasons then, Honorable Chair, maybe as advised by honorable members, is to then just zoom in on maybe those that were not achieved, so that we indicate that. Here is just a highlight of the quarter one vis-a-vis quarter two, that in quarter one we are at 71%, and there was an improvement of 10% during quarter two. And then we move to indicate then that maybe, Honorable Chair, allow me to zoom in straight to in terms of which projects or programs performed in this quarter. Quarter administration had three targets and they achieved all of them. And then institutional governance had nine targets and they achieved eight. And then arts, culture, promotion and development at the time had seven targets and they achieved four. And three were not achieved. And then the heritage preservation and promotion achieved all their targets, which was 7 out of 7. So if we look at the level of what was achieved, maybe to save time then per honorable members advice, and maybe I should go to the targets that were not achieved, honorable chair, if that will help to save time. Now, under Program 2, Honorable Chair, the target that was not achieved was the one of the number of cultural and creative sector projects supported. The target for quarter 2 at the time was at 30, and only 13 were done, and we had the delays here because we were dealing with the review of all the MOAs, as well as then after that, the process is that after you've done the MOAs, you must then, those that are successful, you must submit them to National Treasury. National Treasury must then create what we call items so that those people can be paid. Only when you have achieved, you've got that, then you are able to send transfer the money to those. So here we internally had to review both SOPs as well as MOAs. And that took quite a lot of time for us to then be able to submit to Treasury for the creation of what we call items. Creation of items means that you get registered as an NPO or an MPI. After you are registered, you are allocated the number, in which is then, or an account, like you open a bank account, then Treasury is able to then allow us to pay you so that we can track the money that went to you as an organization or as a sector. The next one was then, of course, the number of sector organizations supported. The target was 4. Here we supported the 4, which was SWIFT, Writers Guild of South Africa, Sovereign Good Development, and SAM. However, when you look at what the reasons we declared is not achieved, was based on the fact that there was a finalization of the MOA, and had a knock-on effect then on the dates of projects that had started, and as a result, the current submission at the time could not then those dates within the MOA that were set for reporting could not be then achieved. But then we had to do an addendum with the new dates so that then we were able to then provide the support necessary to this organization. So that is what we report here, so that there is absolute compliance with verification of information and in line with the MOA. What then happened with the ACPD for human language technologies? Here, and the only reason why these were supported, however, because there is something that we call payment staff, because we the bridge had indicated that they will be able to continue to support this project. What happened, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, was that already these programs were supported in the first quarter, but and then the payments and the payment stubs were for the first quarter. So we could not then say that there is additional evidence, because you will be presenting exactly the same evidence that you provided in the first quarter. And then we decided that we will not then say it is supported, because it is already supported in the previous quarter. It will be like a double counting or double dipping. That is why we talk of this thing called payment stubs, because this would not have aligned with second quarter when a payment happened in the first quarter, but the project is over the year. And that is where the way we crafted the target year was a problem. And then on the ACPD 7, what is the number of community art center programs we were supported, 3, but here we could not do that. This is the Honorable Chair. We have what we call the community art centers, and we work with the provinces. Provinces will identify the centers that we can use, which we will change our approach to say we will have what we call centers of excellence, which will then be the one that will be provided with funding. And once that is done, they will then be able to have all the community art centers within the province being provided that support through those centers of excellence or community art centers. Because in the past, we had a big problem of having target of supporting 150, and that monitoring was going to be a problem. But secondly, was that if you do that, but you are far from the provinces, it's better if we work with the provinces and are able to monitor what is happening in there. So we had targeted 3, and the annual target then was of 9 programs to be supported, which was divided into 4, which will then be managed by service provider in the provinces, while the 5 will then be projects that were going to be managed through the national department. So the delays in the SLAs and also with the appointment of service providers and them having not adequate documents needed, that we really have to transfer money only when all compliance issues were available to the service provider. So the 4 provinces that had to provide those service providers who are compliant was Limpopo, Northern Cape, Mpumalanga and Free State, and they had not even commenced at the time. While on the other hand, there had been progress on the 5 that were to be driven by the department, and those were Gauteng, Eastern Cape, KZN, and the problem was that the Northwest was going to then be covered in the third quarter. So the SLAs needed to be finalized before end of October at the time. In Program 3, Honorable Chair, during the second quarter, all the targets were achieved. So we then asked Honorable Chair that maybe guidance will be required whether we then go to details of budget, or we allow that as was advised, that maybe the budget would be much more relevant in for quarter 3. But if Honorable Chair then allows, we can just go through that budget as CFO. What was the spending patterns at the time? My God.
Yes.
Thank you, DG and Honorable Members. Morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister, and Honorable Deputy Minister. The budget in quarter 2, in total, the expenditure up to the end of September was out of the 4.6 billion budget, of which it translates into 44% spending. And the next slide is just the indication on administration, where 62 million was spent, IG 32 million was spent, and ICPD 234 million was spent, and program 4 HPP 760 million was spent in the second quarter. If we can go to the next slide. The next slide gives the details of the economic classification, where we can see that in terms of the compensation of employees, the department was able to spend 46% of the budget on goods and services. Also, we are sitting at 46% on the conditional grant for libraries. We are sitting at 53%. On the departmental agencies, which is our public entities, we're sitting at 48%. On capital expenditure to entities, we're sitting at 0% in the second quarter. On the non-profit organization, we spent 68 million. On non-profit organization, capital expenditure was 1.4 million. On households, we're able to transfer 10 million. On public corporation current expenditure, we able to spend 50 million. And on heritage assets, we were able to spend 26.6 million. In total, in summary, in the quarter, we were able to spend 2 million, Chairperson and honorable member. And in summary, I can say the department in that quarter, in terms of the projected allocation of 1.3 for quarter two, we were only able to spend 78% of the budget allocated for quarter three. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, teacher. DJ, anyone is supposed to continue with the presentation?
Yes, thanks very much, Honorable Chair. We will then go to the third quarter, Honorable Chair, and if that is permissible, so that we can share the third quarter.
Yes, DJ.
The third quarter, Honorable Chair, we start with the purpose, the introduction, performance overview, and then we provide comparative analysis. It's a similar approach. Then we deal with each program on its performance against its target, and then the CFO will talk to the performance in terms of financials as of the 31st of December 2019 on where we were at the time. And then the purpose is, of course, to update the portfolio committee within the third quarter performance of the department, as well as then this is only for purposes in terms of the law, accountability and oversight, and to enable the committee then to provide feedback to the department on such a performance. So we had indicated the issue of the measure. We're already working here in the dual way. During this third quarter, we're dealing with the issue of the NMOC, in other words, the macro organization of the state, of the Department of Government. So, as per the Department of Planning and Monitoring Relation, we follow the guidelines that we need to submit the reports within 30 days or by end of the quarter, and that was done. And then further, that the third quarter reports are submitted to internal audit for validation before the presentation is made to the audit committee for final assurance, and that was also followed through. The final validated quarterly performance reports then were submitted to DPME as well as National Treasury within 120 days after the end of each quarter. We were able to do that, and the portfolio committee is requested then to note that this presentation is indeed based on the audited financials. Sorry, on the audited results after the quality assurance that they looked at them. Our performance this time was a decline from the previous quarter, at 73%. In other words, 22 targets out of 30 targets were achieved. Areas that were not achieved and affected by the non-achievement, these include the issue of procurement awarded to BEE compliance service providers, the implementation of social cohesion compact, the issue of conducting social advocacy platforms, also the provision of support to arts and social development programs, as well as support to community arts programs, the placement of artists in school, as well as provision of heritage bursaries. Reasons that are provided will follow below. If we then move to the next comparison, as I indicated earlier, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, is that this quarter there was a decrease of 8% as we moved from 81 to 73%. And if we look at it in that context, we then outline which programs were performance by each program. And based on the performance by each program, Program 1 set to achieve 3 targets, but they achieved 2. And then Program 2, which is institutional governance, had 10 targets, and they achieved 7 and not 3. And then if we look at the arts culture promotion, they had 9 targets, and they achieved 6 instead of 9, and then did not achieve 3. And then if we look at heritage promotion, and preservation and promotion, there were 8 targets and they achieved 7 and did not achieve 1 target. Now on the issues of then administration, if we look at the performance on administration, the target that was not achieved, as we indicated earlier in our background, was that 20% is a standard that we're supposed to meet. Now, when we look at that, 54.6% of total value of procurement was awarded to BEE instead of 70% of common service providers. A total of 139 transactions were processed and an amount of 28.9 million rands was spent through the SCM in this period, and an amount of 15.7 million rand was then spent on the BEE compliance service providers. The rationale here is that at the time that when they entered into agreement with provinces to host national dates, as a result, JAC at the time did not claim those BEE points because the work, most of the work during the national days was referred, and we asked the provinces to then secure the services. So we could not then say it is secured through the department, because that appointment would have happened in the provinces. So more transactions would be awarded to the BEE compliance service providers before end of the financial year. Honorable Chairperson, only Zimbizos, this is a program that is mandatory for the fiscal principals to conduct engagement with the public, particularly those that they are providing services to. Target was 5 imbezos, but they were able to do 6 of those as imbezos. So that was an overachievement in that regard in terms of engagement. And then if we look at...
Chairperson?
Yes, Honorable Mhlongo.
It seems like I'm the only one who's potentially here. The presentation has been on hold for 3 minutes, but the teach is continuing, and I don't see the invisors. He's been talking without a presentation. Either I like Zoom, I like video.
What are you saying? You are the only person who's doing what?
Yeah, I don't see. The presentation is not changing. It has been on hold on economic classification.
But Honorable Mhlongo, why are you saying that is only your friend? Was there not yet having time for questions?
It's not a question.
We're still up. I'm saying we're all listening.
Yeah. The teacher is talking about diseases and other things, but it's not on the presentation. I'm not asking a question. I'm saying he must check.
No, But your question, you asked the wrong question. I was wondering, because we're all listening, I think.
No, Chair.
It's only from his side where it is not moving.
Can I? It's on my side only.
I think so. From my side, it's moving.
The President? The President? The President, this is not moving. On my side, it is not moving also. It is just jargon on the window. And the DG is very well.
Thank you. Knox, you're not telling the truth.
Yeah, even myself that is losing a reception every now and then, it's also definitely not moving.
What do you want me to say, honorable members, or what do you want UDG to do? Honorable members? Honorable members, what do you want UDG to do?
That we cannot see the presentation. It was stuck. I think I was stuck by the government lingo. Speaking, but he's not speaking.
Okay.
It has changed now.
Okay. DJ?
No, thank you very much. Yes, Honorable Chair. I hope it is now the moving, Honorable Chair, on Program 1, where we are at Izimbizos. As I was indicating, 6 Izimbizos were held, and that is against the target of 5, and those were related to gender-based violence and femicide, ministerial lecture, indigenous languages in Daba, Data Credo Mutua, and House and Over, and ministerial arts and culture, also Izimbizos, memorial lecture, commemoration on the signing of the South African Constitution, as well as General Hashim Bida launch colloquium. And then when we look at the next slide, I hope it has changed, honorable members. And then it is talking about the number of demand entities, the performance information reports that were required so that they are approved as part of the oversight by the department on the entities. And this, when they needed 3 of these to be submitted, the DAC quarterly report, as well as the public entities and outcome 14 report. So the 2 departmental and 1 entity's performance information reports documents were approved, and these were the first quarterly performance for the DAC. 2 was the issue of the 14th biannual progress report. Then it was the second quarter public entity's consolidated report that was submitted. Then on the governance tools implemented by the department on the public entities, we had a capacity building program on corporate governance for new councils that are appointed, and that was done, and that was conducted on the 11th and the 12th of December 2019. Then the next target was the one of approved feasibility and the due diligence report on the amalgamation of the entities in line with the white paper, revised white paper envisaged a direction about reducing the number of councils and looking at how this can be done to have a similar model. Honorable members, here we are talking about a model similar to what we have on Iziko as well as Ditsong and Gauteng. So that is what the revised white paper of arts and culture is proposing. So there were consultations that were going to take place then during the third quarter with the DAC entities and relevant stakeholders on draft report on the feasibility of this. Based on that, the consultations were conducted with the public entities and the stakeholders then on the draft report were completed on the 11th of December 2019. When we then look at the issue of the cultural diplomacy engagement, the target was 5, and there were 5 that were conducted and done. And these engagements included engagement with Switzerland, with the DAC and South Africa's participation in the 39th session of the WIPO, and as just a add, from the 21st of October to the 25th of October. Then we had a BRICS cultural activities, DAC coordinated South Africa's participation in the BRICS cultural activities from the 21st of September to the 12th of October in Brazil. And then we had a coordination of South Africa's participation in the United Nations International Day of Solidarity with the People of Palestine on the 28th of November 2019. And this was also done. And then the United Nations Education and Scientific Committee, the EAC here, participated on the 40th session of UNESCO General Conference in Paris and France, and that was from the 20th to the 22nd of November. Then there was an Angola event of cultural seasons, and that was between the 28th of November to the 6th of December. Then we had national days. There was only one national day for this quarter that had to be commemorated, and that was Reconciliation Day, and that was held in KZN on the 16th of December in Bedford. The target that was not achieved, there was a number of reports on the implementation of social cohesion compact. We did not have this report. This was based on the fact that we were, when we supposed to have the social cohesion and a summit, that could not happen. The convention had to be postponed. And as we know, it only happened on the 6th to the 7th of February in 2020. So without the convention, we could not have the report taking place. Now that is the reason why this target was not achieved. Number of community conversations held, target was 2, and the 2 were conducted. And that is social cohesion and moral regeneration community conversation on the 19th of October, Bloemfontein and Free State, as well as Reconciliation Month community conversation, which was on the 12th of December 2019, Bergville in KZN. Honorable Chairperson, the target that was not achieved were the target of 5 to have social advocacy platforms held. But instead of 5, we had 4 that were held under the period, that is under review. And that was on the 26th of October 2019, a dialogue on social cohesion, peace building, and anti-crime was held at Tibet College in Umfolozi. And then the 27th of October, social cohesion and anti-xenophobia at S.J. Smith Stadium. And then on the 28th of November 2019, social cohesion and anti-xenophobia dialogue took place at the Val University of Technology, and then on the 5th of December, social cohesion on conversation was held at Pansy Museum. The fifth one, which was planned, a study tour with social cohesion to Trinidad and Tobago, was not undertaken due to delays on administrative processes between us and Trinidad and Tobago. So in the fourth quarter, additional social cohesion platform will be implemented. That is what was planned as a rectification of that target not being met. Then on the number of arts and youth development programs supported, the target was 1, and this is indeed what happened. And the arts culture skills at Bavian Sport Correctional Services Center in Pretoria, Gauteng, also at music development at both the Thabo Mfosanyane Sexual Center in Kwakwa, as well as arts and culture skills development at World Road Correctional Center in Mahikeng Northwest. Still under Program 2, there was a target to have 4 of the social development programs that were to be supported. Only 3 could be supported, and that is in relation to Children in Arts Project, Women in Arts Project, as well as Disability Project. The Kinross Golden Age Oldies were identified to implement the Senior Citizens Project for the financial year. However, it became clear that the NPO does not comply with the SARS requirements in terms of tax clearance, and that had to be canned, also couldn't do business with them they had an expired tax clearance certificate. So as a result of that, then Ebenezer Services Center was appointed for the implementation of the senior citizen, and the MOA was then finalized. The project was to be done then in the following order to rectify this problem. Honorable Chair and honorable members and minister, then we go to program three. In program three is arts and culture promotion and development. The number of cultural and creative sector projects supported through the grants is called the economy. The target was 30, we were able to achieve 45 of the sectors that were supported through NGE, and the 34 have adequate verification at the time of reporting, and 11 were still being followed up, but still it was 34 against 30 as a target. So that was reported then as being achieved, and by that said number that we have then. If we then look, Honorable Chair, on the issue of the next target, was about the number of sector organizations that were to be supported, and four were supported as per the target and planned target, and these were the Afro Art Literacy Training for Women Writers and Indigenous Languages, Independent Black Filmmakers Collective, South African Guild of Actors, as well as South African Screen Federation sectors that were supported in this quarter under review. Target that we were not able to achieve was the issue of the human language technologies. Again, this target being beset by the same problem that most of it was then reported as achieved in quarter one, which then is a budget that goes through over the multiple quarters. So the support for 4HL was then continued, and the two-year human languages technology projects were then declared as not achieved due to inadequate evidence. As I indicated, the outstanding payment for two projects was going to be made in the fourth quarter as per the MOA that we have in terms of our program. So then the next target was ACPD5. Honorable members, we had planned to have market access platforms supported, four of them, and the four access market platforms were indeed supported, and that is Africa Rising International Film Festival, the Craft and Design Institute, Craft Retail and Capacity Building Program. Then it was to enable media, which is Discop Africa, and then of course it is Bukoni Bukirima Craft and Design Institute, the Rumba in the jungle. Then the next target was the one that was also achieved, was that every document that we receive as a department for translation, we are going to translate, and the target there is 100%, and we're able to translate 97 of the documents that we received out of 97. So that is why it was 100% achieved. Number of provincial community arts center programs that were to be supported, it was three. We were able to support one community arts center program in Limpopo, and there was a prelay in the submission of the business plans and programs, and this affected finalization of the internal MOA processes internally, and noting that we cannot transfer payments unless the MOA was signed. Then ACPDH, the bursaries that were awarded for the development of qualified language practitioners. We had planned to do 300, but we were able to provide bursaries for 438 bursaries that were awarded for qualified language practitioners. This is quite an important program because if we are to sustain the languages that are at risk, or indigenous languages as per the Official Languages Act, then we need to make sure that they are indeed having adequate skills and experts in this field. So the bursaries that were awarded, as we had planned 300 based on the projected budget, what happened here was that then universities offer these at different costs, and therefore then where there is a cost that is gained, the bursaries then are awarded to more students, and that is why we had this a high level of achievement in this regard. Honorable Chairperson, the number of artists placed in schools, we had planned to have 360, and at the time we did not have that. There were a number of significant challenges that we faced. Firstly, just in terms of the making sure, based on the what the AG had found in terms of the processes, the ID numbers, the detail that is required here for planning before you implement. And it was clear that we need to rectify those things before we can be able to approve this project. So based on those challenges and the project managers to provide additional information that our legal services required before contracts could be vetted, and this caused a serious delays. However, then we were still going to be able to present and provide these artists in schools in the last quarter as a corrective action. Once we've got all the MOAs signed and the details of the individual creatives being appointed. Now, the next one was the number of reports produced by our South African Cultural Observatory, which is a research arm of the department. They had a 7 reports that they were going to produce, and that is exactly what they did. These are the following reports: unpacking the disparity between employment levels and contribution to GDP within the craft sector. The next one was that they were going to do research on nexus between arts, culture, heritage, tourism, as well as sports policy implication. The next report was on the fair use vis-a-vis fair dealing implications for the cultural and creative industries in South Africa. If we just give highlight on this issue, and we all honorable members are aware that the president has referred the copyright amendment bill as well as the performance protection bill back to parliament. And one of the key areas is about the issue of fair use vis-a-vis fair dealing, and that is quite a cause for concern and worries the creatives a lot. And if it is abused, the creatives are the losers. And this is one of the key areas that is being addressed to try and reverse the exploitation in the bills that are back before Parliament. Then the next AI one was then Interactive Africa, which talks to design Indaba Emerging Creatives Development Program that we would normally have every year in Cape Town, and it was at Artscape last year. Then the overlaps between technology, between the digital and creative sectors, innovation and technology, that was also conducted, research that was finalized, quantifying the value of an impact of cultural season that we have between the countries in South Africa, and then of course the impact study on the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture funded business at South Africa support grant. This is a debut program. Honorable members, then we have the area that talks to program 4. Standardization of geographical names published. And there we had a target of 1 for this quarter, and that was indeed done in terms of geographical names. This is part of the bigger program on the issue of transformation of the national heritage landscape, and to do away with these offensive names that are there, but also to rename places in line with the constitutional values that we have. Of course, then also the number of multi-heritage infrastructure projects completed. Here we had the O.R. Tambo Garden of Remembrance construction, as well as Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela Transport Site construction. The two multi-year projects in progress. The 78% completion rate progress, as well as Mandela Frankfurt is at 100% completion rate, and the progress report has also been developed, and this project is completed in Frankfurt. And then, of course, the HPP4 feasibility study on the resistance and liberation movements in museum submitted to cabinet. And this was the draft feasibility study report was presented to the cluster, and Import Incorporated, and that was done on the 4th of December 2019. Then, of course, the issue of the flags in schools, 400 was the target, and we were able to do 401. And then the target that was not achieved, we had planned, as we indicated earlier, was the number of heritage bazaars awarded. We had 55 that were planned to be awarded once the agreements and everything is signed with the universities. We could be able to do 56 bazaars, and the department had serious challenges to get appropriate documents from the universities. However, we agreed that the officials of the government will visit physically these universities to make sure that we get the MOA signed, as well as additional letters from vice chancellors. And I had to also write to the vice chancellors to ask them for their cooperation. Of course, then the number of archival collections digitized. Target here was 3, and then we have a digitization of treason trial, as well as the database continued to be digitized, as well as the digitization of the CODESA records, so that we have them for time in memory. So we were able to do 24,945 collections that were digitized, namely those that are under the GRC audio tapes, 100, the treason trial database, 150, CODESA 24,695. This is quite crucial because it assists South Africans then to access these records irrespective, without having to go to the archives. You can access them if they are digital. So it is a very, very important exercise for the history and heritage of this country. Then the HPP9 was the number of newly based modular libraries supported. The target was 32, and all 32 were financially supported, and our newly built modular libraries that were then installed in the provinces. The number of heritage policies drafted, we had one policy on repatriation and restitution. The target for the quarter was to submit this draft policy on repatriation and restitution of human remains and heritage objects to the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation, Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation for initial socio-economic impact assessment. And that policy indeed was drafted and done and was submitted for initial assessment to DPME on the 13th of December 2019. CFO, can I then request you at a high level just to talk to financials as of the end of December 31st? Over to you, Mr. Makoto.
Thank you, DG. And
Makoto Matala, sorry.
Thank you, DG, and good morning, honorable members, again. In terms of the financial performance, honorable members, the overall spending at the end of December was at 3.1 billion, which translated into 70% against the adjusted appropriation of 4.6 billion. And compared to the previous year, which was amounting to 3.1 billion, there is a minimal increase of 1% in terms of the overall spending. If you look at the economic classification, compensation of employees, spending at the end of December was 188.8 million, which translated into 71% against the budget. And compared to the prior year, actually, it was 178 million. There is a slight an increase of 5.9%, and basically due to the number of positions that have been filled compared to the previous year. On the goods and services, honorable members, we were sitting at 273.1 million, which translated into 59% of the budget. And you can see that the underspending is mainly attributed to the DPW, which have not billed the department for the first, second, and third quarter for the lease for the state-owned leases, which actually they were waiting National Treasury approval for the itemized billing tariffs. And then just to share with the members is that the tariffs were approved in January 2020. Then you'll see our expenditure in the fourth quarter, it will increase basically because we had to pay for four quarters in the last quarter of the year. And if you compare to the previous year, there will be a decline of 7.8% compared to the previous year. And then if we go to the next slide, please. Next slide. The next slide talks to the interest paid in the current financial year. The only interest paid is 880,000, which was incurred as a result of a penalty charge by the service provider for late payment by the department on a training invoice. Compared to the same period in the prior year, there is a major decline of 99% of actually, and as a result of the 8.8 million interest that was paid for an arbitration award for one of the MGE beneficiaries, which resulted in a expenditure in the previous financial year. If we go to the community libraries grants under provinces, there is an expenditure of 1.2 billion which relates to the transfer of the conditional grant for the community library. Compared to the same period in the prior financial year, there is an increase of 6%, which is due to the nominal growth in the appropriated budget. Next slide, please. On the departmental agencies, the expenditure for the departmental agencies for their operational expenditure is 75% compared to the budget of 1.6 billion. There is an increase of 6.9% in comparison to the prior financial year at the same time of 1.1 billion as a result of increase in the nominal growth allocation of subsidies to entities. But if we look at the capital expenditure, transfers of capital expenditure to entities, the expenditure is sitting at 83 million, which translates into 31% against the budget of 270 million. There is a decline of 34% in comparison to the prior year at the same time. And it's mainly as a result of a process of ensuring that supporting information and documents meet the requirements for transferring the funds in line with the infrastructure policy. This has been resolved and payments are being were processed and the expenditure improved in the fourth quarter. On higher education and institutions, the expenditure is 4.3 million, which is 96% against the budget. There is an increase of 1% compared to the prior year. At the same time of 402 million. This is due to the human language technology project financially supported, which came to an end, and funds were redirected to CSIR public corps and for a new project. Next slide. Higher education check. There was no expenditure incurred within the budget of 4.4 million. No provision was made in the prior financial year under this economic classification. The project was approved and funds allocated for the construction of the Chief Charlie Monument in the 2019 E&E process. On foreign government and international organizations, the expenditure is at 4.2 million against an adjusted budget of 5 million. There is an increase of 3.3% compared to the previous year of 4.1. This is mainly due to the stabilization of the rand to pound exchange rate, and the Commonwealth Foundation has reassessed the contribution, which resulted in the projection being higher than the anticipated one. And then next slide on public cooperation. The expenditure is at 95 million, which translates into 95% against the budget. And compared to the same period in the prior year, there is a decline in the expenditure of compared to last year, it was 98 million, which is a decline of 3% as a result of late finalization of adjudication of calls for proposal, which impacted on the conclusion of MOA and also the introduction and creation of new items by National Treasury. On public corporation CAPEX, there is no expenditure incurred against the adjusted appropriation in the current financial year, and in the prior year, an expenditure of 8.5 million, which translated into 57, was incurred against the adjusted budget in the prior year. A decline in expenditure is as a result of transfer to beneficiaries. Is as a result of transfer to beneficiaries. For the upgrading of community art centers in the prior year financial year. In the current financial year, funds are classified under non-profit organization. On households, next slide, the expenditure is 16 million against the budget of 22 million, which relates to language bazaaries. Compared to the same period in the previous financial year, the expenditure was 22.1 of 93% with the decline of in the expenditure of 27% is due to the late finalization of adjudication of calls for proposals, which compact on the conclusion of MOA. On non-profit institutions, there is an expenditure of 123 million, which is 71% against the budget of 173 million. Compared to the prior year, with an expenditure of 144, which was 85% in the same period, there is a major decline in expenditure of 14% due to late finalization, similarly as above, of calls for proposal, which impacted on the conclusion of memorandum of agreement and introduction and creation of items by National Treasury. On non-profit institution capital expenditure, next slide, there is an expenditure of 3.0, next slide, there is an expenditure of 3.7 million against the adjusted appropriation of 19 million, which relate to transfers to the Steve Biko Foundation and the beneficiaries for the upgrading of community art center. Compared to the same period in the previous financial year, with an expenditure of 10.5 million in the same period, there is a major decline in expenditure of 64% as a result of challenges experienced with the infrastructure project. Next slide, building and other fixtures. There is no expenditure incurred against the adjusted appropriation of 20.7 million, which relates to the infrastructure for the South African Rowdies Association House implemented by the Development Bank of South Africa. Delays were experienced with the contractual obligation between DBSA and DAC. DBSA needed to do a pre-assessment in order to determine the project plan and the preliminary cost estimate of Zara House. There is no allocation under economic classification in the prior financial year for comparative figures. Next slide, on other machinery and equipment. There is an expenditure of 2.1 million, which was incurred against the budget of 8.6 million. Comparing to the previous financial year, there was a 15.4 million, which was 87%. So therefore, there is a decline of 86% in expenditure is due to procurement of the installation of both audiovisual and telecom infrastructure equipment as a result of the relocation to the of the DAC to the Futshaba House. On heritage assets, the expenditure is at 86.4 million, which was incurred against a budget of 160 million. In comparison to the previous year, there was a 26 million, which translated into 23%. There is an increase of 40% due to the payment of Department of Public Works and Infrastructure invoices for the construction of Sarah Batman Center of Remembrance, which were submitted late in the prior financial year and then processed in the current financial year. Then on software and intangible assets, there is an expenditure of 2.7 million against a nil appropriation. The expenditure compared to the prior year financial year same time is 498,000 as a result of an increase of 450% due to the payment made to CISA for the implementation of phase two of the National Automated Archival Information Retrieval System, which is called in summary NERV, projected based on deliverables. On payment for financial assets, there is an expenditure of 112,000 incurred versus an adjusted appropriation, which relates to damage on rented cars as well as bad debt written off. Compared to the same period in the previous financial year, there was 186% was incurred, and this resulted in a decline of 40%. The next slide shows you the actual figures that I just summarized above. If you go to the next slide. The next slide, you can see, honorable members, that the compensation of employees adjusted budget is 267 and the expenditure is 188, and the goods and services, the adjusted budget is 452 and the expenditure at the end of December was 293 million, which was 59%, as explained above. If you look at interest, we don't budget for expenditure for interest, but in the current financial year, we spend only 888. When you round it off, it becomes 1,000. And in, compared to the previous year, where we paid the settlement for that interest of the MGE beneficiary. On the transfers and subsidies for the library grant, the adjusted budget was 1.5 billion and spending at the end of December was 1.5 billion. Mental agency, the adjusted budget was 1.5 billion and we also spent 1.1 billion in that item, resulting in budget available of 394 for the last quarter. And on the CAPEX, the adjusted budget is 270 million and the department was spent 82.8 million by the end of December. On higher education, the budget was 4.3 million and there was no spending by the end of December 2019. Next slide, please. On transfers and subsidies. Next slide. On foreign government, the budget was 5 million and we spent 4.2 million. On public corporation, current expenditure budget was 99 million, the spending was at 95 million. On CAPEX, the budget was 900,000 and there was no spending by the end of December. On household, the budget was 22 million and the spending was at 15.9 million. On non-profit institution, current, the budget was 173 million and the spending was 123 million. On CAPEX for non-profit institution, the budget is 18 million and the spending is 3.7 million. The next slide on payment for capital assets, building and other fixtures, the budget was 20 million. 20 million, previous slide, please. 20 million, and the expenditure by the end of December was zero. On other machinery and equipment, the budget was 8.6 million, and the spending was 2 million. On the heritage assets, the budget was 156 million and the spending was 36 million. On the software and intangibles, there was no allocation and the budget was 2.7 million. On payment of financial assets, the expenditure was 112,000. In total, the department spent 3.1 billion by the end of December, which translated into 70% as explained above. If we go per program, program one, administration, compensation was the budget of 108 million, the expenditure was 76 million. On goods and services, the department in program one spent 93%, which translated into 51%. And then on if I proceed to payment for capital assets, the budget was 8.6 million and the department spent 4.3 million. In total of the budget of 302 million, program one was given to spend 175 million, which translates into 58%. And this is where I was explaining the issue of the state-owned leases, which were only paid in the fourth quarter. I helped you see that program one spending was so low. It's mainly because if you look at goods and services, we have not paid for the state-owned leasing because public works was waiting for the approval for the itemized billing of spirit. If we go to program two, institutional governance, on compensation and of employees, they were sitting at 29.7 million. Spending at the end of December on goods and services was 3.3 million, which translated into 70%. On the transfers, they were sitting at 23 million compared to the total budget of 35 million, which translated into 66%. In total, institutional governance, on a budget of 150 million, they were able to spend 106 million, which translated into 75%. If I proceed to program three, ACPD, current expenditure, which includes compensation of employee at 56 million, the spending was 37.9 million, which translated into 67%. On goods and services, they were able to spend 93%, which translated into 75%. On the transfers and subsidies for the public entities of the department, 695 by December, 513 million was spent, which translated into 74%. On higher education, the expenditure budget was 4.4 billion and the department was able to spend 4.2 billion, which is 96% by the end of December. On non-profit institutions, on a budget of 135 million, 98 million was spent, which was 72%. On households, 11.4 million was spent, which was also 72%. On public corporation current, with a budget of 99 million, 95 million was spent, which translated into 95%. In total, program three, 1.1 billion allocation by end of December, 864 million was spent, which translated into 75%. If we proceed to program four, on current payments, compensation of employee on 44 million was spent, which translated into 74%. On the goods and services, the department spent 32 million in program four, which translated into 41%. On transfer and subsidies for the library conditional grant, now starting with the starting departmental agencies, the budget of 849 and the spending at the end of December was 640 million, which translated into 75%. On capital transfer to the public entities, 270 million budget, only 82% was spent translating into 31%. On foreign government and international organizations, 2 million was spent, which translated into 100%. On higher education, capital expenditure, 4.3 million and zero was spent by the end of December. On household, 4 million was spent, which translates into 66%. On the non-profit institution, on a budget of 16.3 million, only 10.4 million was spent, translating into 64%. On NPI capital expenditure, only 3.7 million was spent, translating into 19%. On the conditional grant, with a budget of 1.5 billion, or 1.1 billion was spent, translating into 79%. On public corporation CAPEX, 900 allocated, and the spending was at zero at the end of December. On the infrastructure, starting with the building and other fixtures, allocation of 20.7 million. And by December, zero spending. On heritage assets, with a budget of 150 million, 36 million was spent by the end of December, which translated into 24%. On the heritage statue, 6 million allocation, and nothing was spent by the end of that period. Out of the total of the budget of 2.9 billion, the program was able to spend 2 million. Which translated into 68%. And if we go to the next slide. The next slide about all the money that were transferred to the provinces and how much they spent in total. The allocation was 1.5 billion and we transferred 1.1 billion, and the expenditure by provinces by the end of December was 1 billion. And that translated to 78%. Members can see that per province, Eastern Cape, they were able to spend 118. Free State, they were able to spend 115 million. Gauteng, they were able to spend 161 million. KwaZulu-Natal, they were able to spend 125 million. Limpopo were able to spend 81 million. Mpumalanga, 132 million. Northern Cape, 124 million. Northwest, 78 million. And Western Cape, 127 million. And that is the financial performance, honorable members, by the end of December. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Chair.
Yes, teacher.
We are done, Honorable Chair, except for the side of TTG Sumaya Khan report. So I don't know whether we move to that or there are questions, Honorable Chair and members now, and then we move to the one of,
let's present all the reports because these reports are too long once we need them in order that when members are asking questions, they ask questions in all presentations. Can we do that? Once even members, they need that each member not exceeding 3 minutes when it's asking questions because of the reports that are too long.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. DDG Sumaya Khan, yes.
Thank you very much, DG. Good morning, Chairperson.
Can you share the report?
Must I share the report, DG?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to try. Thank you very much, Chairperson and members, and good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Minister.
Can I correct the meeting? Honorable members, Minister did indicated to me that he's not part of the meeting today. The only person who's part of the meeting is the deputy minister. He corrected that. Let's correct it accordingly. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Can we all see the screen? Is the presentation on the screen, Chairperson? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson and members, this is the second quarter performance report for the former Sport and Recreation South Africa. The presentation outline is the purpose, the introduction, performance overview, the comparative analysis of the first and second quarter, program-specific performance and expenditure report in the second quarter. Madam Chair, I will take you through the performance information, and the former acting CFO is also in the meeting, and she will take us through the financial report, the expenditure report. Madam Chair, I'm not going to read slide by slide. I will highlight the most important information on the slides. If we look at the purpose, I think Chairperson, like the DG has indicated in his presentation, it is for accountability process as required by law, and it's also to enable the committee to provide their oversight on the work of the department and its entities, and just to indicate that the department refers to Sport and Recreation South Africa. Madam Chair, whilst we are merging and currently we report the same political principles, they still have separate budget votes at that time and are thus treated as separate departments, and therefore the report is based on the performance of Sport and Recreation as a separate department, and we will have a single report once, from the first quarter of this current financial year. Performance review, Madam Chair. If you look at the performance of the department in quarter two, we had 27 targets, of which we achieved 19 and 8 of which were not achieved. If we have to look at them, you can see, Madam Chair, that 19 equates to 70% of the targets being achieved, and 8 is 29.6% of the targets. And here are the details. If we look at the comparative analysis, Madam Chair, in the first quarter we had a 75% achievement and 25% non-achievement, and in the second quarter we had 70% achievement and 29% non-achievement. In terms of the specific programs, Madam Chair, I'm not going to read it line by line, but you can see which of the areas there were challenges in achievement, and which programs achieved well. If you look at program one, we had one target that was not achieved, and that was the number of employees that were trained. The target was 20, but the achievement was 8, which means it was underachieved, and the reason for this was that we have been looking for accredited training for employees, and we were struggling a bit to get quotations. But we started a process of sourcing quotations to source accredited training from accredited training providers. If we move further down to program 2 and 2.4, the number of people actively participating in sports promotion campaigns and events per year. In quarter 2, we had our Indigenous Games that we were supposed to implemented. As much as we're saying it's zero, Madam Chair, our principle has always been that as much as we have reports, if there's no validation and the performance, the portfolio of evidence is not sufficient and is not as per the norms and standards that we've established, and in terms of the standard operating procedures, we will consider it non-achieved. So as much as there was information coming through, we documents were not in order, and hence we started a process to speed up the verification of the registers so that they don't delay the consolidation. If we go to program 2.9, the number of schools and hubs and clubs provided with equipment and attire as per the established norms and standards per year, The target for the quarter, Madam Chair, was 500. Our achievement, our delivery was 209. And this was because we found that a number of the registers from KwaZulu-Natal were not accepted because of the ambiguous way that the evidence was captured. These will be processed, and once they were corrected, and there was in addition a general underperformance, and we're hoping that this will be covered in quarter three and quarter four. We continue to point 10, and another area of underachievement, Madam Chair, the number of athletes supported by sports academies. Here, there's an underachievement because the planned target was 1,000, but the quarter two preliminary output was 800. Here, Madam Chair, as much as it's an underachievement, we found that a high number of athletes were supported in quarter one, and the target as at quarter two was exceeded. So as much as quarter two has an underachievement, overall we have exceeded that target. If we go to program three, which is Winning Nation, we have been achieved in the indicator that speaks to the number of SASPOC MOU reports that have been evaluated. We did not receive a report from SASPOC in quarter two, Madam Chair. Now, if we don't receive a report, then we are not able to do an evaluation. And hence, we've not achieved that target, Madam Chair. And the follow-up has been done with SASPOC in that regard. If we look at 3.3, the number of athletes supported through the scientific support program per year, Madam Chair, you will see the target was 20, but the achievement was zero. In here, Madam Chair, the number of athletes supported through the scientific program will depend on an administrative process. The annual target was achieved because we had already provided support to athletes who were part of the Universidade that in quarter one. In quarter one, athletes went to the university sport World Games, so we had to support them towards that games, and as a result, the target has been achieved in quarter one. There is still additional scientific support of learners identified as potential ministerial bursary recipients, and this is scheduled for quarter three. So you will find that we would have exceeded that target. Again, program three, Winning Nation, 3.1, the number of major international events receiving intergovernmental support. Our target was one in the quarter, Madam Chair, in quarter two, but we've not received any of the bidding and hosting requests from sports federations. This target is dependent on how many codes of sport want to host major events, and they would submit the information and we would give them support in preparing towards the bidding and hosting. So if we've not received anything in that quarter, it will look at an underachievement. But we do know that from a process point of view, our annual target at some point will be achieved because of the fact that this is an unpredictable target. We put it there, but there is a possibility it may not happen in that quarter. It could happen elsewhere. So more events will be supported in quarter three in response to requests received, because we had already received those requests, and this will make up for the second quarter performance or underperformance. If we carry on with in program four, we've got the number of sport and recreation bodies receiving financial and non-financial support in an effort to assist them in meeting their transformation targets per year. Our target for quarter two was five. The achievement was four. So one sport and recreation body could not be paid due to the low cash flow available for the quarter. The cash flow challenges were caused by the urgent need to pay the full annual tranche to SASPOC in quarter one. Madam Chair, normally we have a cash flow, and we know that at a certain time there are codes of sports that we identify that we will pay, or the number of codes. And as a result, because of the fact that there was an urgency for SASPOC to get the amount, we didn't meet the target for to pay out the five that we intended to. But we will correct that in quarter three and four. If we move to the rest of the programs, Madam Chair, all of those targets were achieved. Madam Chair, I'm going to hand over to the CFO, who will take us through the budget and expenditure report. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Continue, sir. Thank you.
Good morning, DDG.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Deputy Minister, and members, and good morning, colleagues. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Okay. Next slide, ADG, please. Thank you. As at the end of 30 September, the overall, this is the executive summary, the overall spending out of the budget of 1.2 billion, we had spent about 503.2 million, which represented 43.6% of the total budget. And the expenditure pattern was in line with the previous financial year, with an increase of just over 1.1%. Provinces were penalized in their second tranche transfer in the previous financial year, whilst this year there was no penalty, so their tranches were paid in full. The spending on COE, we had spent about 49.2 million as at the end of September out of the budget of 120.1 million, which translated to 40.9%. The spending, when we're comparing to the previous financial year first half, that is 18-19, we had decreased by about 4.1%. This was mainly due, if we remember, at the end of the second quarter, we were not having the minister. We were having one minister due to the NMO process, so the minister's costs were catered at DAC. Expenditure on goods and services at end of quarter two, we were at 36.9%, which totaled rent value of 65.2 million out of the budget of 176 million. There were no payments made yet for projects like Indigenous Games, Big Walk, and the National Youth Camp projects. Hence the decrease by 5.1% at the same when we're comparing to the previous financial year. But we were expecting that the expenditure would increase in the third quarter. Next slide, please. Transfers, payments, the spending, we ended at 45.5%, which is a total amount of 388.5 million out of the budget of 854.7 million. We had an improved cooperation between SRSA, provinces and federation that has yielded in positive results, and we ended up increasing our spending to 45.5 as compared to the previous year of 42.2. Payment for capital assets expenditure at end of September, it was at 14.9%, which was totaling 374,000 out of the budget of 2.5. We were expecting the expenditure to increase because we had procurement that was underway. There was a decrease of 27.6% as compared to the same quarter in the previous financial year. Next slide, please. This is the figures of the overall spending for the total department. As I've already said, the total spending, out of the total budget of 1.1 billion, we had spent 503.2 million, which equates to 43.6%. When we go per economy classification, current payments, which is our goods and services and compensation of employees, the average their spending is 38.6%. Rent value, the budget for compensation of employees is 120 million. We had spent 49 million, which translates to 40.9%. Goods and services, the budget was 176.3 million. We had spent 65.1 million, which translates to 36 6.9%. Transfers and subsidies to provinces and our departmental agencies, we had a total budget of 854.7 million. We had spent 388.5 million as at the end of September, which translates to 45.5%. Transfers to provinces, we had spent 50% as at the end of September. Transfers to our departmental entities or agencies, we are at 49.9%. And transfers to NPIs, which is our federations, we're at 28.6%. Households, which is mainly where our ministerial bursary is, and support to Elite Atlas, we're at 73.2% as at the end of the financial year. Program one, next slide, please. The budget for program one, we were at 145.7 million. We had spent 73.8 million, which translated to 50.7%. When we go per economic classification, COE, which is compensation of employees, out of the budget of 85.5 million, we had spent 35.4, which translated to 41.1%. Goods and services for program one was, the budget was 57.5 million. We had spent 34 million, which translated to 59.2%. Transfers and subsidies, there you see an abnormality. As then, we had not done. When we look under households where there was no budget, but we had a payment that was done at the end of September, that payment was for the once-off gratuity leave payment for the ex-minister Khasa and ex-deputy minister Osteisen. That would be corrected when we do adjustment in the third quarter. So we'll close the year correctly. So the total, okay. Capital assets under machinery and equipment, we had the budget of 2.5 million. The spending as at the end of September were at 374,000, which was about 14.9%. Program 2, please. Next slide. Active Nation. The total budget for Active Nation, we were at 744 million. The total expenditure at the end of quarter 2 were at 361.5 million. Which translates to 48.6%. When we go per economic classification, current payments average spending is at 36.6%. COE, we had a budget of 10.2 for that program. The spending, it was 4.7 million, which totals equates to 45.9%. Goods and services, their budget was at 68.5 million. We had spent 24.1 million, which translates to 35.3%. Transfers and subsidies in this program. For provinces, we have a budget of 620 million. We had already spent 310, which translates to 50%. Households, there was an expenditure for 54,000 and payments to their NPIs. The budget of 45.1, we had spent about 22.5, which translates to 50%. The average spending of this program ended at 48.6%. Next slide, please. Program 3, Winning Nation. The total budget for Winning Nation, we're sitting at 83.6 million. We had spent, as at the end of quarter, 29 million, which translates to 34.7%. When we go per economic classification, COE, we had a budget of 5.3 million, spending at 1.5, which is 28.8%. Goods and services, we had a budget of 34.5. The spending was at 2.5, which translated to about 7.4%. Transfers and subsidies in this program, for the departmental agencies, we had a budget of 25.6 million. We had already transferred 12.8, which translates to 50%. households, we had a budget of 7.1 million. We had spent 1.1 million, which translates to 15.9%. NPIs in this program, we had a budget of 10.9, and we had already transferred the total budget, which is 100%, 10.9. The total spending ended at 84.7%. Program for support. The total budget in this program is 164.9 million. The total spending as at the end of quarter two were at 35.8 million, which translates to 21.8. When we go per economic classification, current payments, which is compensation and goods and services, the total budget there was 19.2, COE alone was 12.5, and their spending was 5.5, which translates to 44.2. Goods and services, their budget was 6.6, their spending was at 3.3, which translates to 50%. Transfers and subsidies, their total budget was at 145.6 million. Their spending was at 26.9 million, which translates to 18.5. Transfers to departmental agencies, budget 12.8, spending 6.4, translates to 50%. Households, they had 54,000 expenditure that we incurred. NPIs, their budget is at 132.8 million. The spending as at the end of quarter was at 20.5 million, which translates to 15.4. That's program five. Next slide, please. Thank you. The total budget in this program was sitting at 15.2 million. The spending as at September, it was at 2.8 million, which translated to 19% of the budget. In this program, we've got goods and services and COE. COE, their budget was 6.2 million. Their spending was 1.9, which translated to 30.7%. Their goods and services, their budget was 9 million. They had spent 987,000, which translated to about 11%. That is the end of our financial report as at the end of September. Thank you.
Thank you very much, CFO. Chairperson, can we continue with the next report for quarter four?
Yes, please, DTG.
Trying to get back to this.
Excuse me, Chairperson.
Oh, yes. Please assist me because I can't see that. Yes, Honorable Malomani. Honorable Malomani.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask a question, but if they're still presenting quarter four, and then I'll be given a chance to ask questions after they've presented.
Okay, no problem. We'll note the hands in after they finish, but I was asking that because of time frames. The last presentation of the COVID-19 after this quarter, it must be presented in order that when you ask questions, everyone must have an inclusive questions out of all the presentation as one noting what they are presenting. Thank you, DTG.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The third quarter performance.
Okay. Just a moment. Yes, Honorable Chairperson.
I've raised my hand, but I think you don't see my hand. Chair, I wanted to raise the same thing. It's now 2 hours the department has been presenting, and there's too much information, and we're going to have 30 minutes for us to ask questions. That is not an effective oversight, and we didn't agree on that. I think we agree that we'll get more time in our last conversation as a committee, but now I think maybe let's be cautious. Either they speed up because it's now 2 hours for them to present. We're going to have 30 minutes for questions. It's not an effective oversight that we must go about.
I don't know what to do, Honorable Members. When we invite people to come and present, and then they prepared and their preparation, it's long presentation because of the work that they are doing. But what you are saying is very relevant, because also we do want to engage in each presentation. So just now they are about to present fourth quarter, or else we are saying that they must not present the fourth quarter. As I'm here, I was going to tell the honourable members that because of the parliament shifted the date of the times for a Friday, that now we are no longer going to have the original time. I've asked each department not to come. So on Friday, and I was going to ask permission from you, honourable members, because we're supposed to have each department 9 in the morning, and now we're having Women's Parliament, and after Women's Parliament, we do have a forgotten what we're having, but they get all the program of the Friday. It does affect us, so that's why I was saying that I will come and present. But we can take questions now, and then telling me if they are not finishing presentation today, how about in the next presentation that they must include. But maybe now let's wait for the fourth quarter and wanting the presentation of the COVID-19, and then we started to ask questions. How about that? I'm happy. It's just my suggestion. I don't know what to do. Because the reality is that when they don't present, yes. Yes, Honorable Song. Yes, Honorable Song. Waiting, Honorable Song.
We cannot ask the department to present for 2 hours and 30 minutes for when they go. Chair, can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Can you hear me,
yes,
Chair?
Yes, I do. Yes, Honorable Song.
Yeah. Chair, what I was saying, for us, I think maybe... Thanks, Chair. Maybe for now, the department must give us an opportunity to ask questions on both the presentation, and then before we go to COVID, because we are going to have questions. They're going to present more presentation without question. It's useless for us to have that scenario. We've never had that. We have an opportunity as an oversight committee to ask the question on, based on the presentation. Now I propose let's ask question now, if time permits, for them to present other documentation that they did not present now, and then we'll take it from there, because we cannot give them more time for us not to ask questions. They have more than 2 hours now.
Chairperson?
That's my proposal, Chair. Yes.
Thank you, Honourable Song. Honourable
Van Dyk.
Honourable Veronique.
Chairperson, yes. I do support Honourable Tsepo, because otherwise there's not going to be sufficient time for us to ask questions on the reports that has been presented to us. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, Honourable, the Office of the Ministers, can we just now stop there? But I'm still maintaining that when we want anyone to come and present, we must, with immediate effect, tell them that don't present in your fully-fledged presentation. We've read the presentation. Please summarize, because now, really, it's a reality that you are taking your time, because you took time to prepare. So can now, with due respect, Honorable, let me take a question, as Honorable Malumane was already thinking that this is the time for questions, and everyone, Zoleka, please, because I don't see any hands, give me the people who ask the questions.
Can Chair, can the presentation go down, please? Can they minimize the presentation?
Honorable the administrators, can you assist me on taking the hands?
Here we have Mr. Mhlongo, Ms. Malumane, Mr. Madlingozi so far, and Ms. Van Dijk.
On that order, honorable members.
Thanks, Chair.
Sorry, honorable Chair. Sorry, honorable Chair. I have no privilege.
Okay.
I don't have a privilege of a point of order, but I just wanted to alert the House, Honorable Chair, that the DDG Sumaya Khan was going to present the third quarter report similar to us. Then there will be seamless, whether it is third quarter for sport or third quarter for arts and culture. And I thought maybe that will then ask this chair. Otherwise, it means she will have to present in the next sitting the third quarter report, just to make the honorable members aware. That was the only part outstanding. And then COVID could still come later, and at least for this one, so that the committee has got complete oversight on the second and third quarter of the department.
Honorable members, do you hear what DJ is saying? Honorable members?
Yes,
let's get on with the question, Chairperson.
Thank you. May I give honorable I'm giving you a rule of 3 minutes. And the staff must assist me to myself even the follow-up questions to be fair to each member. This is not the first time that you have been doing the 3 minute rule. The first question by Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I thought last time we agreed that I'm going to speak to you regarding us asking questions, ask them responding to me. Are we going to that rule or Maasai? That is, we've spoken about it in our last meeting, that I will ask a first question and they will respond if there's a follow-up question, and then we'll take it from there. What is,
no,
because I thought we spoke about it last time.
No,
our last meeting.
The
format of asking questions.
Listen, hey, there are people who are talking here. Honorable GM.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Mhlongo, if you can listen to yourself, there are members who cannot have a chance of asking questions. A 3 minute question, and then from there everyone will be having a chance of that his or her question will be answered collectively. Honorable Mhlongo, I want that you must monitor a 3 minute rule to everyone. Honorable Mhlongo.
Honorable
members, we're taking our own time again now.
Excuse me, Chairperson. Mr. Mhlongo has been disconnected. I think he's going to try to join.
Oh, okay. Let's take Honorable Malumane. A 3 minute rule to all. Okay. Okay, Honorable Mhlongo, ask your question.
I'm back.
Yes, yes.
I wanted to
ask your question. I'm suspecting that. Yes,
we welcome your presentation and the staff proposed that we go for a summary, but nonetheless, the software and asset, it says 150 million and it was spent at the end of December. Why do we have unstable IT infrastructure in the department, but we've spent more than 151 million? Why are we struggling? Because we've struggled to take care of the first phase of relief funds, which issues were IT issues were there. Another question I wanted to find out, under appointment of service provider, there's a company which was appointed for wellness, plus minus 14 million. That company is a company that deals with communication and they have a communication experience. Do we as a department have an HR department? Why do we outsource the wellness services to a communication company? And I wanted to find out, why is the department not taking our recommendation? In our last budget report, we stated clearly that they must avoid outsourcing. So I wanted to find out how much was budgeted for the total budget for wellness, and did this communication company pass all the tests or all the requirements? So going back to the presentation, on the Backstage Academy, they spoke of SARA, which is Mr. Manyatela's project or program, so to say. Does the department has a relationship with SARA? Because I saw on your presentation you did not achieve the target. Can I propose, if above all, Chair, that the department and Mr. Manyatela must come, because we always receive allegation of matters of corruption regarding the department from Mr. Manyatela. Chair, last question that I have, if the minister is around, the minister in our last meeting stated clearly that the CEO of National Arts Council will take Public Protector's report under review. Today it's now 60 days, nothing has happened, the CEO from National Arts Council did not take the report under review, and I'll ask the minister to intervene for us to make sure that we have a team, National Arts Council leadership, that is will make sure that there's corporate and there's a good governance, because we question the way it was. Another question I wanted to find out, how much was used for Inviso for Credo Motua, and how many people attended that event? Thank you, Chair.
You must all follow on what Honorable Ntlongo kept on his pre-minute rule.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me say morning to Honorable Members, Deputy Minister, staff members, and our guests. I'd like to welcome the presentation that has been presented by the department. My question will be that under sports and recreation, when they were presenting, it seems as if there are challenges with the submissions of documents. I just want to find out, because provinces and stakeholders, they're not sending documents on time, is there any consequence management that the department is taking if the provinces don't submit documents in time or the stakeholders? As you can see on the other report of SASCOC, is not submitting the non-submission of the quarter progress report from SASCOC. So I just want to check what are the actions that the department has taken to SASCOC, and will SASCOC's leadership be held accountable? The other question is that there's a dispute with the Department of Public Works. Is this dispute being resolved? What is the total bill? Because the department is renting office space. I just want to check how much does it cost for the department for the accommodation that has been leased. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Malomana. You saved some minutes. Honorable Mazingosi.
Thank you, Chair. Let me welcome the report and also welcome the Deputy Minister, PPG, DG, and the rest of the honorable people that were with here. My question is, what are these cultural diplomatic engagements that Gigi was talking about, and what kind of help are they doing for our national culture? And do we know any results in that regard? And also, who are the people that are being chosen to go and be part of these cultural, exchange people, and how are they being chosen? And are the monies allocated for these failed cultural engagements find their way back to the fiscus? If that is the case, can we have a proof that they really do go back to the basket? We're talking about the Copyright Amendment Bill. The Copyright Amendment Bill was never extensively discussed in the committee or for the Parliament. Nevertheless, they are also very challenging issues that the president, have to deal with, have to send back it to Parliament. Talking about the fair use and everything else, and also getting into it, and also having so many collecting societies being part of the another confusion that is being created within this amendment bill. So I've been talking to different people, stakeholders within the industry, creatives, and also people who are working within these collecting societies. And most of them don't even have a clue of what the bill is talking about. And I think that we should, as a committee, come together and really present the bill as a collection, as one, basically, so that we all present it the most concrete way possible. That will be all for now. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Honourable you must be brief to the point in order that you must ask more questions. But next time you must try to improve on your questions in order that you must have more time. Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Van Dijk.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you also for the presentation. I'm not sure if my video is working. If the signal goes bad, I will just put it off. My first question is on the second quarter. The slow spending on infrastructure projects, as we all know, has been a persistent challenge within the department. And I want to know whether with the recently established infrastructure management office, is that ensured the implementation of the infrastructure projects? And specifically, I want to refer to the Winnie Mandela House, the JL Dubai House, the Tambo Memorial, the Shubu Cultural Area, and then also the statue of King Sejuayo and the Raymond Maslow statue. Whether these projects, were they followed through or were they delayed as they were in the 2018-19? I was just wondering if they were implemented, and if not, what were the other implications for service delivery? Then I also, as my colleague, as one of our members also asked with regards to the department that's on the second program. That's on the third, that the first program, the Department of Public Works, whether the dispute of that invoices has been resolved, because I believe that that also plays a role with regards to the implementation of our infrastructure project. Then on program two, it can be explained the late claims by the Northern Cape Department of this South African Arts and Culture for the Heritage Deliberation. because that event actually happened at the end of 24 September 2019. So why is it considered late? That was one of my questions. And then I also want to ask with in relation to slide 25, the human language technology projects. What is the reason why that project did not they will not be declared achieved? Also, then on the sports sector page, okay, let me just go there. Are you there, Chair?
Yeah. Your last question.
Right, and I want to know what the reason was for the Northern Cape to be the only province with insufficient funds to send learners to the National School Championships, and were the funds transferred from the National Department earmarked for such events, and whether this is not denying our learners an opportunity to showcase their talent. I also have a question on if the department can indicate the problem. Sorry, Chair.
Honourable Van Dyk, your 3-minute rule. Your 3-minute rule. Yeah.
All right. One of the members had a little late. Use the little this time.
Okay. What you need?
I want to use that minute of the members that didn't use it. I just need to know the if the department can indicate that the problem it's currently dysfunctional. If they can give us the run us through the challenges of the chess in South Africa.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Adams.
Oh, okay, Chairperson. You will have Ms. Adams, Mr. Siabi, and Mr. Faba.
Honourable Adams. Honourable Adams. Maybe it does have a problem. Let's try the next member, but when she is ready, we'll take her. Honourable Faba, I'll see you on the screen. Is it Siabe or Honourable Faba?
Mr. Siabe, then Mr. Faba.
Mr. Siabe.
Thanks very much, Chair. my question is the first one. Can the department take the committee through the status of the municipal infrastructure grant? What's the progress, especially for the construction of sports facilities? And my second question is there seem to be a gross under expenditure of 21% under program for sports support in the second part.
Honorable Father,
why?
Can you hear me?
Why is there such an under expenditure, and won't that have a negative impact on the preparations for the Olympic Games? Attached to that, just to check with the department, because seemingly SASCOC has problems. Are there funds being spent for the department towards preparations for the Olympic Games? Does the department have a contingency plan in place in case the National Lottery Commission does not fund SASCOC towards the Olympic Games? And in the presentation, I had the acting CFO saying that there was no in one item, households, there was no budget, but ultimately they spent money as a result of the former minister and former deputy minister. If she can explain further on that one for a better understanding. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Honorable, thank you, Honorable Siabe, Honorable Faba, Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Person, can you hear me?
Yes, Honorable Father.
Yes, my reception is very bad, so I'm not putting my video on, Chair. I'm here in the Northern Cape. Chairperson, yes, my first one would be like, I think it was page 32,
and that was the amount of resignations in the department. What the reason is that there's such a high rate of resignation? Did you get that, Chairperson?
Yes.
Then yes. The second question, Chair, which is very important to me, on the copyright amendment bill, which the DG says that will come back to us. I need to understand, will they bring us as well as the Department of Trade and Industry together? There was a hell of a lot of hiccups on that bill, and I don't want this bill to be rushed through as it's got a huge effect on the whole industry, especially on the film industry from overseas, etc., and as well with our own people in the performing arts sector. I would like to know what is the situation on that, and will they come to us timelessly that we can slowly work through that bill? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Sova. Honourable Adams, are you back? Honourable members, with my questions, I'm thanking the presentations, but also I wanted to you to propose in this copyright amendment bill that the department must go and prepare for us to have maybe a joint meeting, because this bill, it was referred back even to our us as the portfolio committee, whilst we are not yet having a fully briefing. If we can prioritize, whilst Honourable Faber is saying that not to rush, but immediately that the bill is referred back even from the president. So I'm suspecting that we do have bills that are also a priority for us, especially our white paper. But with this one, I would propose that each department must try to have a mini a briefing session of joint departments in order that we must fast-track each discussion, not fast-track each bill per se, but fast-track the discussion of the bill. That's, and then also, I'm always worried about this thing of infrastructure. How are the municipalities now responding on the MIG? Is department happy, and are you, let alone that we're in COVID-19, but I wanted to check whether do they have a program that you are aware of it, but also this MOU of the department, even with the COPTA in this question of this MIG, we need a fully briefing about this. Because now maybe this is the time that they must start to be on the ground. But what is going on? Thank you so much so far. DG, DM,
Yes. My apologies. Ms. Adams is experiencing a network problem.
Yes.
She has sent me question, can I put it through?
Yes, please. Do so.
Yeah, she, her question is, okay, she's commending the Department of Sports in particular for speaking to payment of service providers within 30 days. Now, question is, on slide 15, proper 2, why don't members of the committee receive invites to the recreation promotion campaign so that they can perform their effective oversight? On slide 15 again, she said, asking how often do senior managers within the department pay visits to to problematic provinces. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, DJ. That's your turn of your collective, and maybe Honorable the DM at the end. You sort yourselves who must respond first. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I will ask, as Honorable Chair directly pointed, that we've got our colleagues with me. I've got Mr. Ndima on the issues of infrastructure that have been raised relating to the Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela House and the related questions, then the PMU. And then I have, of course, Sumaya, the DDG, then acting DG, will respond to matters related to sport, CFO, and a number of issues. Let me not waste time. Let me just ask Mr. Ndima, and then CFO, and then the DDG Khumalo. I'm not sure if he's there, or Mr. Nabaso Charles, who was then acting in this position. Otherwise, we will close then the rest of the gaps that might be there. DDG Ndima is a DDG responsible for heritage promotion, preservation and promotion in program four, for the record.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning to all members of the committee. Maybe let me start by indicating that we have not yet established the project management unit, but I must say that work is continuing. For instance, we have reported to the committee that the Winnie Madikizela Mandela Museum was completed. Currently, we are looking at now getting the exhibition so that it can become operational. The J.L. Dube project, which is the amphitheater, work is resuming after a period of lull, first and foremost, which was caused by the fact that we still needed to investigate the structural integrity of the amphitheater when IDT, we stopped our working relationship with IDT. The new service provider had to check the structural integrity before they could proceed. They are now going ahead with that project. The OR Tambo project, the Wi-Fi center and the Garden of Remembrance is almost complete. And then the Raymond Mushaba project, there are still matters that still need to be resolved there in terms of the Raymond Mushaba statue. That particular project had to undergo some investigation because of the problems that were highlighted, and then we needed to ensure that we investigated that project after the whistleblowing. And then the King Cetshwayo project is under conceptualization and planning. Then the issue of the relationship with DPW, I think that we have we are continuing to have discussions regarding the performance of DPWI with regards to the project that they are managing on our behalf, more particularly the Sarah Bartman Center of Remembrance in Hanke, as well as the heating and ventilation air conditioning project within the archive, where we are not happy with the performance. And last week we had a very constructive meeting with them where we pointed out the areas that we are concerned about, and of course them coming to the party in terms of saying how are they going to be dealing with some of the problems that we have regarding our project. I would like to stop there, Chairperson.
The next one.
CFO maybe can actually come in as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. Honorable DM again. I will just address some of the issues quickly here raised by the members. I'm going to start with the spending on the software working on the software, our system, for especially for payment, are done through what we call the basic accounting system. So we are not necessarily in charge of the national system that enables department to process transaction into the general ledger of the department. So we are, and when we are spending on software, it's basically when we are spending for instances like our licensing fees to participate in the Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft application and so on. And those are not enabling system, but are just for improving on communication. And furthermore, our spending on software is basically, one of the examples is for the NERS system at the archives, where they are digitizing the records for the researchers and professors and students who are looking for documents in the system, instead of manually looking for the document, but actually using a system. So the second issue I want to talk about is the appointment of a service provider for wellness. The department do have a budget for wellness. But in this instance, the question the member is asking is not part of the expenditure report that we have presented. But I will respond to the question that we did in the last 2 months or so, finalize the appointment of a wellness services provider. Within the department, we do have a person who is able to deal with a wellness, albeit to a very limited extent. And therefore, in this specific appointment, it was not necessarily for the internal consumption of wellness services, but it's for assisting the sector with issues related to wellness, like your financial management, your financial skills, you know, your stress advice, and so on. For the sector, because there's a lot of instances where we find artists are so distressed, some of them are suicidal, and they don't have anywhere to go. And the department saw it fit that in order to safeguard and avail services for the sector, we should have such kind of a services that we can offer for the sector. And just to share with the members, we also have a company that is doing internal wellness services. And because of the same explanation that we have very limited, because you need expertise, you need psychologists, you need physiotherapy, some of them, and we will not have such a service within the department. Hence, we had to contract out these services, and it's basically for them. Although the company is maybe profiled as a media company, but they do have expertise and contracted people who are experts in the wellness services itself. And if I proceed, the issue of the Imbizo, I don't have the number of people who attended the Imbizo, but we will respond in writing to the committee as to how many people attended the Credo Mutua Imbizo, and we can give a report to the members in writing about that. And then on the Mr. Dima covered the infrastructure, but Albert, I want to just talk to the fact that I also mentioned that in Program 1 there was underspending, and I want to explain to the members that the underspending caused by the non-submission of invoices from DPWI, and basically they did not submit invoices, reason being since 2007 and 2008, the Treasury has been granting approval for them to bill the department for per square meter occupied by a department in the state-owned building. But that was not informed by any scientific determination. How much must DPWI charged the department for renting out their building, and Treasury gave them an instruction actually to say they need to come up with a scientific determination as to how much they must build the department per square meter, and that every year till then they were being given an exemption, and I think the last exemption was expiring in 2018 and 19 financial year, so they were actually forced now to make that determination, and I said in my initial engagement that the approval was granted in January. That is why you will see that now, even in this current financial year, every quarter, DPWI is able to bid up, because that credit they have determined and it has been approved by National Treasury, it can be used to bill for all the state-owned leases in terms of that square meter tariff that was approved by the National Treasury, that they must charge all the government-owned buildings, and that is implemented for now. And lastly, on the issues of invoices where DPWI was unable or were late in giving supporting documents, because all the infrastructure invoices must be supported by a report as well as supporting document, and they did submit them, and all those invoices have been resolved so far. There are still some which are outstanding, especially for the project of HVAC at the National Archive, but it's a matter that our DG and the DG of Public Works and Infrastructure are tasked to resolve, and all that is work in progress, and seems they will be resolved in this current financial year. Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. I think some of the questions have been covered. The one Honorable Mshongo about 150 and the company appointed. I think we can just want to confirm the issue of the company relating to wellness, that according to all the submissions by the company and the references that they have made, that company is indeed having the expertise in this area, and the BAC did evaluate that bid and all those bids, and they were compared with any other one, because it was an open tender, and there was no indication that the company is not equipped to deal with the issue of wellness, and this is aimed at providing support to the creative. In particular, as we all know, that usually there is a complaint about depression, about challenges that they face, financial management. So it's a very broad coverage of what the services that they would provide. We were not looking for a communications company, but the diversification of their portfolio is what informed the appointment in terms of what was advertised for the tender purposes, and that is evidence is there. And then on the issue of the backstage academy, to have a relationship with SARA, I believe we do, and it is going back in years, that relationship, and we've been supporting all their progress without fail. And we can provide historical data and evidence in that regard. And the recent one is the one of 23 million rand that we are providing to upgrade SARA's building, so that academy, as Minister had committed, that academy is playing a crucial role in this country. And therefore, then we will do everything we can. After all else was done and the court settlement, which was the settlement with the public protector and SARA, we were able then to agree that even if what they had asked for at the time was 15 million, but we worked with the appointed agency, implementing agency by public protector as recommended, and that is a development.
Africa, and we are working with them, and the plans are at an advanced stage for that place to be renovated. This is just an indication. That's 23 million rand we are talking about, just for that building. I'm not even talking about their international programs. I'm not even talking about their, what we call, the conference, that the LETPC conference that we is there, and we will go and attend and open, the minister and myself. So sometimes what you read might not be really what is real in terms of what's happening between ourselves and SARA. And I believe I have a good working relationship with the chairperson there, and that is the leader of SARA, and Mr. Virginia Taylor, and a number of other joint work that we have done with him, even in terms of benchmarking exercise abroad that we have done with him. So I believe that we do have a working relationship, and we can share with you just how many millions we have in fact invested in his programs and in every year. So there might be those challenges that we might be having, and which we always try to resolve with him. But historically, this is one of the institutions that has been consistently supported by this department financially, and not by cents, but by millions. Can I then proceed to the next question that was raised? I think my colleagues will talk to the provinces and SASCOC to submit documents. I will let that be done. The issue of the invoices, Honorable Malumane, you have responded to that through the CFO. Honorable Ringo, the cultural diplomatic engagements. Yes, these are the engagements where, as a country, we engage with other countries and share best practices, and where necessary, we will also then have our own colleagues and engaging and be able to then learn what exactly is being done in those countries, and eventually we'll have even MOAs or MOUs on how to have cultural exchange programs with them. Which will then benefit the creative. And they are, as you know, if we are looking for a musician like Ringo, we will then have that musician and be able to identify and say, in terms of the type of genre or type of music that we would like to have displayed or exported. And then we will do those selections through the process that the department will follow based on the type of music that we believe must be exported into that or to that country. And yes, we believe that there are rewards because if we do that, then we are opening opportunities and markets for our creatives to be able to also go there even beyond the presence of the department. Because if they are successful, they are then able to get those contracts and be able to go there and be able to play or to stage their shows or events. Now, the Copyright Amendment Bill, I think we accept the request, Honorable Chairperson, also raised by Honorable Matriosi, that the department, of course, if we come there, we work jointly and very closely with the Department of Trade and DTIC. So we will be able to make that necessary presentation. I do know that even recently they had gone there as the Department of Trade and Industry and to go and present to their portfolio committee, and that was on the 18th of August. But we have been consistently working together, and if there is a need for a joint presentation, we should be able to come and do that. All we are saying is that even last year, when the President asked the Minister of Trade and Industry then, with our Minister, Najim Teto, to meet with the sector, that was convened jointly. And then, again, the problem here is the industry seeing things differently. And that is one of the key challenges here on why there was a problem. But also then the President looked at the constitutional matter issues, and they preferred that this matter be referred back to Parliament. And I think
I think Honorable Fundate issues that he has raised, the only one that I think we have not addressed was why the human language technologies were not targeted or not achieved. As I indicated, Honorable Fundate, the support was provided, but that support to those technologies was only done mainly in the first quarter and payments were done. Now, when we talk of the second quarter or the third quarter, you find that that money runs over three quarters before you transfer the next tranche. Then what happens is that then, based on the recent information, you cannot say I'm reprinting the payment stub as a proof because you are covering that period. And I indicated that maybe we have agreed that we must be clear when we pay which ones will end in which quarter and which one will then have to be paid in which quarter so that we do not go to university or to these courses and then implement the payments and they run over, but you still have that target in the following quarters. That is an area of improvement in terms of our planning that we agreed we'll have to do. The issue of the of CHESS as well as Northern Cape, I will allow my colleague to respond to that, including the transport problem by Honorable Siare, so that you are able to deal with that. But yes, maybe the Deputy Minister will be able to provide that leadership around the issue of Olympic Games and transport, but I'm sure we are committed to make South Africa not fail to appear, but maybe we will just add as bureaucrats based on the direction that the Deputy Minister might talk to. The resignation is Honorable Faba. I'm not sure from which presentation. I thought I tried to check whether it is from sport or it's from the former DAC. If I can get that clarity, I will be able to then address the matter. I think on the issue of DTIC, Honorable Faba has responded. So have I done also to Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Vlane, about the issue of the copyright amendment. May I request then, Honorable Chair, that our colleague, Sumaya Khan, acting DDG then, for the report under review, she provides responses on the questions related to that area. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Honorable Acting DDG.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, I'm also joined by the Acting CFO and also the former Acting Chief Director during the planning. So between us, we will respond to the questions. The Acting CFO will take the finance questions, and Mr. Makwela will take questions around submissions of documents, etc. I would then come through to talk about the MIC, to talk about the Olympic Games, etc. And also, Madam Chair, can I also please make a request? There's a question around the CHESS. There's a question from Honorable Ram Fandek. If we can please defer that, there's a presentation coming to the Portfolio Committee in at another meeting from CHESS South Africa. Can we perhaps then park that question so we can talk about it holistically at that time? But Chair will be guided by the Chair. I'm going to hand over Chairperson to Mr. Mpela, who will respond to some of the questions, and then to the CFO, and then I'll come in. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Okay, I'm suspecting the Honorable Veronica, she would be pleased, all of us, when we get a full briefing of CHESS. It's a progressive response. Can I give you to
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Fandek. May I get other people to respond?
Honorable Chairperson and members, dear and colleagues, good morning.
Morning.
While we know that Transcom experienced challenges that led to repeated changes, there can be no doubt that the dysfunctional SASPOC has a negative implications for the success of the SEC. Therefore, their failure to submit accountability reports in line with the agreement signed with the department was not taken lightly. We, in response, followed up with the leadership of SASPOC, and the report was eventually submitted in quarter three. We, however, could not record the target as achieved in quarter three because for it to be achieved, the department need to first analyze the SASPOC report and produce our own report that would highlight the areas that we need focusing on. So, yeah, where we are now, Chairperson, we have got those reports and we do not have those challenges in submitting reports any longer. Thank you.
Yes, the next one.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Bungile Mondile, the acting CFO SRSA at the time of reporting. In relation to the question from Member Adams in relation to the spending or the high spending on households under Program 1. When we budgeting, we do not budget for household that is in relation to resignation, that is payout of leave day. So as at in end of September, we had the change of administration, one. Number two, Minister Khansa, former Minister Khansa and former Deputy Minister Osteizen. We were supposed to pay them their once-off gratuity as they leave office, which was calculated. And that is the overspending that is happening on Program 1. That under Program 1, slide 29, and then that money would be, that overspending would be cleared because in quarter 3, we would apply for environment during adjustment period, so we would via money from COE to clear the overspending that has happened. So it's normal, we can't budget for resignation, and that was unexpected, so that happened, that caused that overspending. Again, the reason why we're saying high termination or resignation, after the during the NMOC, minister, the former minister and the former DM left, and their staff or their support staff was not all absorbed in the department. So their contracts were terminated. So that translates into their higher rate when we're comparing to the previous financial year. I think that was the question that I needed to, and then there was a question why Northern Cape had inadequate funds for attending learners, sending learners to national championship. As a department, as at the end of the quarter, that is September, we had transferred all the funds due to all provinces. I had indicated that there were no penalties incurred by the provinces in relation to their DORA tranches being withheld. So all the funds were transferred, including Northern Cape. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, colleagues. And Chairperson, when we look at the MIG funding and the MIG projects, Madam Chair, in 2019-2020, the projects, they are still at an implementation stage. None have reported completion because the construction was halted during level 5 and level 4, but it has now resumed, then was resumed in level 3. There were 22 projects that were allocated for 2019-2020. In 2020-2021, there are 23 projects the municipal financial year starts on the 1st of July, so those new projects were allocated for 2020-2021. Some are now at a design stage, others are at a procurement stage. None have commenced with construction, and again, Madam Chair, those were due to the fact that no work could have been during the lockdown. There was no construction, no personnel on site, etc., to actually do what was planned to be done at the time. Madam Chair, with regard to the MOU with COPTA, we have prepared an MOU with COPTA because the funding for the projects, for infrastructure projects, are with COPTA. They just allocate projects. They allocate funding to us. They give us an amount. We then work with the provinces and the municipalities to identify the sites and what will be built through a consultative process and also engaging with the IDP. But the money still lies with COPTA. The reporting from the provinces and municipalities goes to COPTA. So we prepared an MOU which we presented to COPTA. They have not responded to us, and we're following up on that so that it helps us in terms of ensuring that the timelines, et cetera, are met. So that's with regard to COPTA. With regard to the Olympic Games, Madam Chair, the Games, obviously the Games were postponed. They should have taken place now in this financial year. At the time when SASCOC was preparing for the Games, they had some sponsors on board, etc., and they had started to engage with the National Lottery Commission. We ourselves, Madam Chair, started to also engage with the National Lottery Commission to look at how they could fund it. There was an appetite from the National Lottery Commission to look at funding, especially giving it to those athletes who we knew had a high possibility of bringing medals to the country. But obviously, Madam Chair, those discussions will have to start afresh with the National Lottery so that we get funding for them. The SASCOC themselves are working, waiting for the chef commission's meeting in Tokyo because there's new timelines that are going to be set, etc. The federations are also, international federations are also looking at different qualification criteria, etc. So it's like the whole cycle starting again. You would recall, Madam Chair, that SASCOC took a decision to actually relax the selection criteria, thereby giving more athletes an opportunity to participate. But they're going to review that as well, because obviously if you're getting more athletes to participate, it has a greater impact in terms of the resources that are required for the athletes. And obviously, you know, you needed to look at where those resources were going to come from as well. From our side, Madam Chair, historically, we have not always given them funding towards the Olympic Games. We give an allocation, an annual allocation to SASCOC, a lot for the administration and for supporting other programs. But we do assist with the OPEC programs as well to an extent. Madam Chair, what we are looking at from our own budget as well, we're going through a reprioritization process now towards the new financial year. We are still having discussions. We haven't finalized anything as yet. The DG will still be applied. We are looking to see where our budget can accommodate it, to see how we reprioritize within the branch of sport, recreation development and sport, to see how we move some of the funding so we give athletes, we can support some of our athletes. But that is still work in progress. It still has to go through our own internal processes, Madam Chair, and we can report back at a later time. The province, there are federations that are also getting assistance from the Olympic Solidarity Fund, and even the Paralympics as well. The Paralympic athletes, they are looking at some sponsorship from the Olympic Solidarity Fund. And the national federations are also getting some support from the international federations as well. So we have to look at this quite holistically to see how, where they are, what is the total quantum of any support that is required, what is coming through from all the different sources, and then how do we assist the athletes as well there. Madam Chair, I'm just trying to see what else we haven't spoken about so that I can respond to that. I think the CFO has spoken about the learners in the national championships in the Northern Cape. Madam Chair, the Northern Cape is one of our smallest provinces. And in terms of sport, when we give them the conditional grant, they normally get the smallest, if we have to look at the equitable share only, they get the smallest amount of money. And they have vast rural areas, and their spread of schools, etc., are very vast. And for them to even host their own provincial, their own district championship is the challenge. We've had to come up with different models of delivery for the Northern Cape because of the fact that their schools are so far apart. And for them to convene even a district or even a provincial championship costs them a lot of money, and they don't have it from their own equitable share. And in terms of conditional grant, they get a very small tranche. We've had to now reconfigure how we fund the Northern Cape in terms of the conditional grant, where we've asked two provinces, Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal, to sacrifice some of their grants so we give it to the Northern Cape. Because if you have to look at the equitable share, they will always get the smallest amount. So that's our initiative. But with regard to the last summer game, the province themselves had took the decision that they did not have enough funding to send a team through because of the fact that they couldn't... they had so many other projects and they were out. They couldn't send a full team. We had even engaged them to say maybe they should send some athletes, identify them, which they were willing to do, but they eventually didn't come through to the championship because of the fact they had no funds due to other pressures and other championships, that other sports events that they had to also provide funding for within the Active Nation program. Madam Chair, I think I've covered everything that I had to respond to between us. Thanks, Madam Chair.
Let me take this opportunity to thank the crew of the e-department. I don't know whether our DM wants to say something, but I don't think she must wait, because I do have about for follow-ups. Let me thank the first round and the responses. I've got a follow-up of Honorable Malumane, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Mbongo, and myself.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Sorry for interrupting you. I see that we can go up to 12:30. If that is the case, I was going to suggest, Chair, that maybe we give 5 to 12. Maybe we give 5 to 10 minutes to the Department on Sports and Recreation just to finalize their third quarter presentation, and we take the rest on follow-up questions, so that we are on track.
Chair? Yes. Honorable members, that's the proposal. Chair? Yes, Honorable Mkhango.
No, I differ with the proposal. The important question that they need follow-up now, the presentation will come as we agreed that they will come in our next meeting. I think we've agreed that. Now, I don't think it's...
we never agreed.
The chairperson...
No, we never agreed.
Yeah, out of what I'm hoping you're speaking.
You must propose it. We never
Honorable Siabe, please, you don't do that. You raise and you object. It was myself who proposed that. No one said yes or no. So go on, Honorable Mkhango.
Thank you, Chair. You confirm what I was saying. That silence is golden. We agreed that there is. Next time, I think we didn't second you because silence is golden. Now, Mr. Siabe must apologize to say there was no one who proposed that. But nonetheless, Chair, can we go for follow-up question? Unless you take your ruling on that.
Honorable Mhlongo, you don't do that. You don't do that. You can't say that silence is golden. This is a meeting. The procedures of the meeting, there's nothing like what we are saying. When somebody, even if it's not the person is proposing, we need to say that we agree. I'm not saying that you have agreed, honorable members. I've said I've proposed. So now we are saying that let's do it next on the next meeting. But there's an objection from honorable Siam. Honorable members, we must not waste the time we're having. What do you want, honorable members? Can one of you compromise for the sake of our less minutes that we're having?
Chairperson?
Honorable Siam?
Yes. If there's a view that they can present in the next meeting, I don't have a problem. But Honorable Mhlongo must not take us for granted and think we've agreed, even if we have not agreed. If there's a view that they can present in the next meeting, I don't necessarily have a problem. We can continue.
But you see, if measures in getting to the EU meeting,
again, honorable DJ, what are you saying? DJ? Oh, he was not, she was not talking to us. Honorable members, honorable, I do confirm that because of time, maybe we'll try to check with our area of House Chairperson, whether we can't have meetings like Tuesday and Wednesday, in order that we must try to manage time. Honorable Malomane, Honorable Van Beek, Honorable Mhlongo, your follow-up question.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up question is that there was a question that I raised regarding the office accommodation that is listed from private landlords. What is the total value? So I didn't get the response. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Brief to the point. Honorable Van Dijk.
Chairperson, my question is a follow-up on that English advertising and marketing tender. We received that wellness tender of almost 14 or more than 14 million. It doesn't display any of that wellness expertise on the website. So I was wondering if we can be provided as a committee with a detailed record of where this company had provided these wellness services before. Because I think it's important. If they got the tender, then they must prove that they do have the qualities. Not only, if such a report can be presented to us, it will be highly appreciated.
Thank you, Honorable Van Dijk, Honorable Mhlongo.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, on the communication company, I think the department did not adhere to our recommendation. Our budget report states clearly that they must not outsource. That was the recommendation. I wanted to find out why did they outsource, why we said no outsourcing. Another issue, I think the DG is not telling us the truth. We've received several emails, DG. I think I'll copy you those emails. Mr. Nyatela even today claims that he did not get any money from the department for the organization. And Chair, you are aware of that? And what I'll propose, Chair, how much, the question is, how much did the DG for this financial year and that last year, the previous financial year, did SARA receive to date? Can we get that number? And then I'll take it that it has been read. I think another question which was not answered regarding the National Arts Council. It was not answered for the CEO. The minister came to this committee and told us that the CEO will review the public protector's findings. We have 60 days today. Nothing has been done. There's no review. We're asking the minister, the deputy minister must respond now because it seems like the minister is not here, that what will they do to
to make sure that there's good governance, and the CEO failed, as he promised the minister, that he's going to review the outcomes. Another question which was not responded to is the question of credo mutua. How much was he, the response was, I'll come back with the attendance list. It's fine for that one, it's fine. But how much was used for that event? Because one of the things that we must know, what was it used for, and how can we get a breakdown of the finances for that event? Thank you, Chair, for now.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. I'm having just two follow-up questions. I wanted to check with this MOU with Ecopter. I'm aware that we're having a very serious problem that the municipality, they didn't want to take this spaceman of what the department was proposing, the cheapest goals. So I would love to check whether finally they did Ecopter municipalities adhere to those specifics that they were not want to follow. But also, I think on the 18th,
Excuse me, Chairperson. Yes. Your connection is bad, Chair, so we can't hear you. Chairperson? It looks like members we've lost the chairperson. I think the department should continue with their responses.
Thank you very much. Just allow the DG to come in and I'll come in.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Yes.
But Honorable Hibos was still going to raise. She was part of the people. Honorable Hibos. Okay. And Honorable Chair, I think the issue of office accommodation from private landlords.
Yes.
Can I come in, DG?
Yes, please.
Yes, let me deal with two questions. The issue of private accommodation, the national office is sitting in a private owned building, which is the Chawa House. Currently, we are occupying about 11,000 square meters there. Although the building itself is about, if I'm not wrong, about 17,000 square meters. We are supposed to share with a unit from the SAPS called Secretariat for Police, but they never came.
There is a breakdown.
Now, with the NMOC, we are in a process of relocating the former Department of Sport and Recreation to come and join us and occupy the remaining space in the at the Chawa House. and also the Department of Sports where they are occupying is also a privately owned, but I'm not sure about the square meters there for now, but it's also privately owned and they are on currently on a month-to-month lease, because immediately we are ready at such our house, they will come and occupy some of the vacant floors there. And chair and members, I've received the update on the Credo Motor. Let me take advantage of that. Is that the amount spent was 1.4 million, and then 800 people attended the event. And then there was also a social cohesion dialogue the day before the event, and that social dialogue was attended by about 200 people. The theme was celebrating the life and times of Credo Motor. So for both events, the total amount spent was 1.7 million. And the items for spending was transport, ablution facilities, catering, equipment hire like your tables and chairs, exhibition and media buying. So basically that was the summary of the report for the Credo Motor Foundation, Chairperson. I think those are the two things, DG, I wanted to report. Thank you. And perhaps touching a little bit also on we will submit the proposal that the service provider has sent to us in terms of the wellness, terms of reference, Chairperson and Honorable Member.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. The CFO has assisted in terms of responding to some of the questions. Both in Dingley's as well as the office accommodation. Now, the issue of no outsourcing by Honorable Mhlongo instruction to the department, I think I must clarify here what type of work was required, which is not what we have, and we need then to provide the services to the by the department to the clientele that we are servicing. It is not outsourcing for the benefit of the department here. This is services that were rendered towards people who are not employees of the department for the consumption of services by the department. This is the service that is required by the sector, which the department has no capacity to provide. On the question that has been raised about the amounts that we have been able to provide to SARA, we can just share with you, Honorable Chair, year on year, going back as far as 2014 to date on how much we've been able to provide to SARA in support of their program. Now, in 2013, in fact, the department entered into an agreement of a three-year funding to SARA, with SARA, to the value of 2.8 million. And the contract was ending in 2016. And the report was then provided by SARA. In 2015, there was another allocation to SARA of 800,000 rand. And they were able to do that project and complete it. It was called Live Events and Technical Production Contract. In 2015, there was then the issue about the revised, the renovation of SARA House. With that, the matter was having a dispute. And at the time, the public protector intervened as per the complaint by SARA for the renovation. And at that time, the cost was at 15 million rand.
However, after engagement with SARA and as well as the public protector, out of court settlement was reached, and we agreed to a value of 23 million rand, which is currently a project that is currently running between us as well as SARA. So if the honorable members want us to give you the full lowdown, year on year, on how we've been providing support to SARA, we rather do that. Maybe this will bring this matter to a complete understanding of the committee. It is not true that this department does not support SARA. I deny that completely, Honorable Chair. Now, on the issue of NAC review and the matter being taken to court, and sorry, by review by the NAC, I can indicate that even as late as last week, Honorable Chair, the chairperson of NAC indicated that they've taken the matter for review. And in fact, he was saying that they were going to have a meeting on Tuesday last week with their lawyers around the matter. So I was just trying to find that email, because he sent me that email confirming this matter, because we wanted to know the status of that. And I just wanted to read it verbatim, but here I'm using the same computer at this stage. But that is their undertaking. That is their report to us, and the minister was reporting on that basis, because they are the ones who can either take the matter for review or not. We can only do follow-up with them, which indeed we have done again, and they submitted that email, and it was last week, if I'm not wrong. I will just check it, Honorable Chair, but we do have that indication from the chairperson of the board of NAC. I am not sure, Honorable Chair, if there is anything else that I'm leaving out of this. Honorable Faber had spoken about resignations, and I requested clarity on that matter. Both I was not sure. Osbongile dealt with it, that is the finance, the CEO, the CFO from the spot at the time under which the report is under review. Honorable Chairperson, yes.
DG, can I give it to the DM now?
Sir?
DM?
Chair, before the DM.
Can I talk? Hello?
Chair? Mshonga here?
Hello?
Before the DM?
Yes.
Yeah. Chair, the question was, this financial year and the previous financial year, 2019-20, 2018-20, how much did the department give SARA? He did not answer my question. That was the
Honorable
for 2014.
Honorable can we take what Udichi is saying, that even by tomorrow they must forward that information to us, which they want, because the information is power. Some of us will be very, very pleased that that information, even by tomorrow, must be circulated to honorable members. Because this problem, as my friend, I want that it must come to an end. So can we give them that they must circulate that information by tomorrow?
Thank you, Chair. I support that. It's supported. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. DM?
Excuse me, Chair. Mr. Madu was his hand is up.
Honorable members, don't do this. When we want follow-ups, we must be in time, because I'm managing time. Please wait, DM. Don't get in, Mr. Mahlungozi. Brief to the point that
Yes, Jefferson, you know, as DG was talking, I remember I had the communication with Sarah and them that there's nothing they say that there's nothing that there are no monies that they've been given to them. It's only through DBSA, you know, through
The reason why I raised my hand, Chairperson, it is because I'm hearing DG talking about the money that are not there. That's why I was raising my hand. Thank you, Chair.
Listen, Honorable Mandlingosi, I don't want you not to talk. That's just a moment. I don't want you not to talk, but I wanted you that I've ruled on what Honorable Mandlingosi was saying about Sarah. We are saying by tomorrow, we want all those payments that Sarah, especially Mr. Nyathela, is in dispute. So I'm saying to you, can you take that's what you are resolving?
Yeah, I heard you. I was just saying that I raised my hand that time, not now. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you so much, Honorable Mandlingosi. I didn't want you not to talk, but I wanted to put the meeting to procedure. Honorable Maloman.
I'm covered.
Thank you, last one. DM? DM?
Thank you very much, Chair. Yes, thank you very much, Chair. And greetings to the members of the committee and the officials from the department. I just want to start by apologizing, Chair, when I was disturbing you when my mic was not. I also want to start, Chair, by making an apology in the confusion of the tabling of reports. I think because the reports that were being tabled are the second and the third quarter performance report of the 1920 financial year, which is at the time that the departments were still working separately. So therefore, they had an obligation to report, you know, separately, and that took time. And therefore, even though the reports are true, they ended up being false. And that's why there was a confusion. I know members were a bit irritated with the time taken. And I think as we move forward, that problem is going to be resolved, because at least on this financial year, they will be resolved. And I thought it's important just to raise it so that members realize that it's still the financial report of the previous year. And on the issue of the bill, I really want to agree with the members that these are important bills for the sector. And I also want to confirm, Chair, that the Portfolio Committee on BTI did get a briefing since the bill has been sent back to Parliament last week. And I thought, as we discussed, then it's going to be important, Chair, that this committee must also first get their own briefing before they have to join the report and meeting with the BTI. Because otherwise, if you're going to have a joint meeting before you had a briefing from the department, at least by the time you have a joint meeting, you also at the same level. You have got the same information.
Yes.
So maybe that's going to be important, that as soon as possible, the department must come and brief the committee on what is happening, because both departments are trying to work together in the area of this bill so that there is no confusion. So I agree with you that there should be a joint, but I think before the joint, you should have your own meeting. And on the issue of the funding for the Olympics, that I know that the members have raised, I think DDG Sumaya Khan has tried to cover the issue. But just to say that it's important to remember that SASCOP is responsible for this work, but as the department and as government, there is no way that we can let the country down by not making sure that the team is sufficiently supported. So
the interaction between ourselves and the SASCOP will determine what kind of support they will need ultimately for the Olympic team. But obviously, that discussion is going to be ongoing as soon as we know, as soon as we get that report from the Olympic Committee. But I can assure the committee that we will make sure that that support is there and is given. But remember, it will be in the interaction between ourselves and the SASCOP, as it is continuously happening. I know members have raised the issue of the wellness tender, and I also know that the DG has responded to it, which for me was a bit confusing, because that issue is not in these two reports that were tabled. Member, I think it's important, I agree with what has been said ultimately, that report must be submitted so that members have got full information before engaging on this issue, because otherwise, by the time it comes to the committee now, it's going to be a confusing thing, because it's raised, but it's not in the report. So as soon as possible, because it's now been tabled and officials have responded to it, that report must be then submitted to the portfolio committee. The portfolio committee, you know, engaging on information that is of the ask. And on the issue of the National Arts Council, which has been raised by Honorable Mtsongo, DG has responded to it. But I think the best we can do, Honorable Mtsongo, is to say we will give an update report, which we will then request from the National Arts Council. Because right now, as DG has said, the response from them was that they are challenging the report. But let us say, because that issue is also critical for the members to know, we will submit the report to the portfolio committee, and then when we come to the committee, we will be able then to respond to a report that has been submitted, so that we don't just respond to issues out of our hands. And I just want to thank the members, Chair, for making sure that some of the issues that have raised, we are able, as both as government and as the department, to continuously make sure that portfolio committee has got information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, DM. We, as this committee, we do appreciate to get any information that we think that is relevant for us, in order that we must do an oversight. So as some questions arise here, without maybe the majority of committee members not aware, that's a good thing that we are saying information is the power. So every now and then, we'd love that what we are doing and what we are promising us, you must forward this report, and with those words, honourable members, can we close this meeting for today? Thanking everyone, it was a very informative meeting. I thank you. Thanks. Honourable members, do you hear me? I'm saying the meeting is closed, honourable members. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Maloman.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you to all of you, honourable members. The meeting is closed.
Thank you, Chair.
You must be the minister. Bye.
Putin went.
Need to deputy minister. You can record me.
Come, Shongo.
Deputy minister.